Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears.
Hello and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, and we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully, putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. Hello there. Today, our subject is communication skills for a better relationship, and we're going to be getting to that in just a minute, Hughes and myself. Let me tell you about next week. We're going to be doing a show on the power of words, and we're going to have some special guests with that, including a young woman named Kelly Waters, who is trying to save a library in her town, and talks about how the library, when she was a young girl, saved her life. It's a very interesting story, so we'll be doing that. And on April 20th, we'll have Joe Melnick with his new DVD program for couples called The S Factor. You can find that on the web at thesfactor.com, and he'll be here to tell us all about that. And, of course, this week and every week, we have Dr. Mark Kiefner with A Minute on the Mind with Dr. Mark Kiefner. So let me say hello and good morning to Hughes. Hey, buddy.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. So you, so we get right into communication skills for a better relationship. I think important things is how you start into communicating with your significant other, and I think one of the important words is relationship. It's a relationship between the two of you, and that it implies that there has to be communication. The more communication, the better. The healthier and more effective the communication, the better the relationship. So one of the first things I think of when I think about starting a conversation, especially about important issues, is what's called a soft startup. This was a concept or a phrase initiated by a guy named John Gottman, who did a lot of research with couples. And so if you start communicating harshly or negatively or aggressively or all of those kinds of things, you immediately put the other person on the defensive, and they're starting from a defensive position rather than an open position to be able to participate and communicate in the discussion, in the communication.
Yeah, I think that's a good point and a good place to start, you know, with having a conversation with somebody. I think, you know, if there's a lot of energy behind it, or we've put it off for a few days, weeks, or even months.
You know, or years sometimes.
True. You know, by the time we get around to bringing it to the table, it's so laden with so much energy that we can just kind of be ready to go, and our partner or whoever we're wanting to have a conversation with is totally in the dark about where we're at, and we're just putting a lot out there very quickly, and can overwhelm the other person very quickly, and we're off to just a negative, unhealthy start for a communication moment, aren't we?
Indeed. Yeah, I think the other thing that's important is if you can accentuate the positive and say what you want as opposed to what you don't want, or what you didn't like, or what you hated, or all those kinds of things. It's much easier for someone to give you something that you want if you can tell them what that is, and if you can make that concrete. If they're defending all the things that they haven't done or what's bad about them, you can get them so focused on that that they're not in a position to, or willing to, or is up for doing what you actually want them to do, which is the positive thing. And if you can ask them for the positive thing, accentuate the positive thing, it makes it much easier for you to get what you want. And isn't that the point of a lot of communication? It's you getting something that you need.
You know, I just back to starting up a conversation, Jim.
Sure.
Just the idea of putting that request out there about the conversation too, I think is pretty powerful. Hey, I want to have a positive conversation with you. I want to have a a non-anger filled, or I want to have a successful conversation with you about item A, B, or C. You know,
yeah.
Just putting that request out into the field will give plenty of information to who you want to talk with and what your intention is. And that's a great point about it. Being positive and what you want to get out of it along the way. You know?
Right. And a tip for women out there is, you know, there's this joke about these terrible words for men. We need to talk.
I gotta go.
I think men are not as conversant in general about those kinds of discussions and talking about feelings and whatever. And if you combine we need to talk with, I've got something, I'm really angry about it, I'm really gonna, rake you over the coals. You got two things working against you. The other thing is, don't assume that the other person knows what you want. I mean, you can use, we're both talking the same language, but there can be very different meanings or very vague meanings about what you're asking for. If you say you never say anything nice about me. Okay. What kind of compliments would you like? What kind of things would you like me to say? Would be much more helpful in terms of figuring out what the other person is actually asking for. And then you can figure out some times and some ways to do that.
Boy, this sounds like a lot of work, Jim.
It is a lot of work.
I mean, we're only 7 minutes into the show, and it's just realizing how much work it is just to get a conversation going.
Yeah.
and to
get it going in a constructive, positive direction. I think people avoid or fear communicating these things. It's interesting. I think people fear being negative or saying something negative. And that's what we were saying earlier. You wait for so long and then the steam builds up, and then it comes out intense, negative. This is something that's wrong. Rather than when you see something that you want and you're not getting it, to say, hey, I really would have appreciated such and such. You think you can do that for me? I mean, asking it as a request.
Right. And I think specifics, it's really important just to go back to that point about being specific about what you want or what you need. I'm thinking about your piece around we need to talk system.
Yeah,
I can see the male brain going, I need you to listen
right.
as a way of hearing that, or you need to talk. Versus,
right.
Hey, we need to talk about the kids. We need to talk about this weekend. We need to talk about the car. Put it out there. Be really
right.
specific, because I think the other side is going to be much more open or maybe disarmed or less defensive if they know what's coming at them.
Right.
And, the other thing, too, is to, timing's an issue.
Right.
It seems like this conversation is about that early startup part of the communication, which I think is great because we could spend a lot of time here, Jim, and just kind of really keep talking about how to be successful in those first few minutes of a conversation. And, the timing is an issue, too. I mean, if you see your partner or the person you want to talk to heading out the door, or they're like got some stress going on, or they're tired or hungry or, you know, something, that's probably not the best time to kind of say, oh, they're available now, let's talk, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're already set up for needing to meet their immediate need, which is hunger, sleep, I need to get to work kind of deal.
Right. Right, yeah, and it's good to have some sense that there's some space to talk rather than, you know, we've only got a few minutes or there's something important coming up. And if you have that pressure of time, it's like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
One of the things, you know, going back to John Gottman, who's written a couple of books about couples that are very good, is that one of the things he says is that if your heart rate is above 100 beats a minute, absolutely nothing constructive is going to happen. He did some research with couples where he actually put them in kind of living situations and hooked them up to all kinds of wires and so forth, which you would think would not make it too natural, but I think they were able to make it invasive enough, and then had them discuss important issues. And if they started to get intense about it and excited about it and their heart rate got over 100 beats a minute, nothing constructive happened. They really had to calm down, get their heart rate back down, and then they could go back to the subject. So sometimes it's important to make sure you're not getting too excited and too intense about it. 100 beats a minute is not much. And you can actually just take your pulse by, you know, putting your finger on your wrist and feeling your pulse there. And if you see that your heart rate or the other person's heart rate is above 100 beats a minute, nothing is going to be going on constructive. And so, you know, sometimes you need to take a break. And one important thing about taking a break is that you have to have a commitment to come back. You know, that's not an excuse to just get out of it and get away. It has to be, I'm gonna take a break for a particular purpose, which is to get back to talking about this in a frame of mind for both of us that it's going to be helpful and constructive.
It's kind of like having a talk date, you know. You and I meet for a week for a half hour to talk. This is great, you know. I'm just
you're talking to me, Hughes.
I'm talking to you, Jim. I'm glad you shut up. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening to me. You know, putting some time aside is critical. You know, especially
right.
If there's lack of time in your life, we have to create some time or to honor some time, put it aside to have these important conversations that are just as important as everything else you're running around doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes the other thing too, just to add to what you were saying, Jim, is sometimes it helps to get out of the house or get out mm-hmm. of that old milieu of which you've tried to have conversations in, and maybe they haven't been very successful. You know, you're in the house and the phone's ringing and you got to get out of it, cut the grass and deal with this neighbor and that kid. I mean, you know, sometimes it's helpful to get away to a neutral place, a cup of coffee, go for a walk, go out for a walk at the beach or in the woods or something, and, you know, put some time aside to do it, you know, mm-hmm. have a date, talk date.
I think that's really interesting what you said about taking a walk on the beach. I think if you're moving or in your emotion, sometimes you can get out some of that excess energy that gets intensified if you're closed in or if you're not moving, and you can get yourself in a more relaxed state of mind, so that it feels like you know, this is flowing. You know, your emotion is flowing, and that can spill over into your conversation flowing.
I remember years ago, I have an example of that I just want to share real quick. Years ago, my dad came to visit for Father's Day, and we're sitting around looking at each other for hours, like, you know, we had plenty to talk about, but we didn't talk because it's two guys sitting around. All of a sudden, a load of wood, a dump truck shows up in my yard, dumps a cord of wood, two cords of wood in my yard, and I said, Dad, you want to go stack some wood? Sure. So we go out there, and we start moving this wood, and it just kind of dovetailed into this great conversation as he's throwing me a piece of wood, I'm stacking it, and we're trading places. But we had the greatest talk for 2 or 3 hours, and I don't think that would have happened if we weren't moving or moving something. You know, so it's almost like rallying around something, getting the energy moving, is a little diversion, is a little bit safe, hide behind the wood, you know, but it was great. It was great. So, you know, movement. Put that in your repertoire.
Yeah, that's a great example. That's cool. The other thing is, you know, don't assume that you know what the other person wants or what they're going to say, or even if they are saying some of the same things that they've said before. Try to get beneath that, below that. Try to appreciate the feeling or the need that's underneath that. You know, what we all are trying to get some basic needs, you know, fulfilled. And sometimes what we're asking for is symbolic of those basic needs. And if you can get below the thing on the surface that is difficult for you, or you don't know how to do, or you don't know if you can do it, if you can find what's underneath that, that this request is speaking in the service of, you can find out a lot. So listening is a really important part of communication, and really trying to get to the essence of what's trying to be communicated to you.
Yeah, because it's usually not the first thing that's there.
Yeah.
There's usually a few more things, and, you know, putting some time in, some patience, some non-reaction, keeping the heart rate down. The second or third item, which may be the real item that needs to get honored, listened to, discussed, processed, and concluded on, is maybe the ultimate piece to get to get to the success, to move the relationship ahead.
Right.
So that's a really good point, you know, because sometimes we send out messages to test or to get an impression of how this may go before we feel safe enough to go to item 2 and 3.
Right. I always keep forgetting to say the phone number for people to call in. So let me just give the phone number in case somebody's there and saying, well, we want to get in on this conversation. It's 1-347-677-1667 to call in. And the other thing I wanted to remind people about is that we have the blog up and going with a lot of blog posts from Dr. David Sanford, our colleague who's down in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico. And we'll be back, I think, in May to join us from time to time. And so there's lots of information on communication there, and I'm going to post up some more this week. And I think those things are helpful. And one of the things I was just thinking about from one of his blog posts was he was talking about when you give a negative message, or you're angry, or you're hostile or critical, it can be experienced as parent-like behavior from the other partner, and that is experienced and can throw the other person into a childlike state, and they'll experience that as if they were responding to a parent. Now, if they had a fabulous parent, that's a good thing. But probably if you're being negative and that triggers, a childlike response in them, they're probably responding to some of the negative things that happen between parent and child. And there are lots of good parents out there, but there are also parents who are not perfect. And so there are lots of us that experience things somewhat negatively when somebody's criticizing us, as if we go back into that child state. And that's not a good thing. You don't want that.
Yeah, just, you know, there's a lot of not perfect parents, but there's also a lot of not perfect kids.
Right. Really?
And I mean that from the
spoken like a true parent, are you?
And helping children communicate what they're really trying to say or what their needs are is part of a relationship too. So I don't mean that there's bad kids, but sometimes they have a hard time expressing what they're trying to say or what their needs are or communicate directly to. And
especially when they're on the defensive, you know, especially when they're feeling pressured. Yeah.
Oh, and elevated with their mood and their heart rate and, you know, kind of excited about something else. I mean, it is just that's a hard moment, you know, for communication to be successful.
Right. And one of the things to remember, if you're going into a discussion angry or with anger, is to remember that anger is usually not the primary emotion. If you're leaving with anger, if anger really is feeling like the primary thing, think about what else it might be. Usually it's fear or hurt, where we get angry to gear ourselves up to protect ourselves from what we're afraid of or what we're fearful about, or a sense that we've been hurt. You see it in animals all the time. If they feel scared, they can respond by being fierce. You know, talk about a cornered animal. You know, the anger is right there, and that's looks like the primary emotion, that they're angry. But it has a lot more to do with whether they're feeling scared or insecure, and that can be a very difficult thing to get to sometimes below the anger.
And a lot of times when that anger state is up too, it's also a defensive posture. The walls are up, the moats are dug, the water's filled up. It's not going to be successful. You're not going to be available for conversation once we're in that anger defensive posture as well.
Yeah.
So it can go back and forth to being aggressive and, you know, kind of going out there and protecting ourselves. But we can also protect ourselves by pulling back and withdrawing too. And, huge, you know, place of communication failures or breakdowns.
Right. So, Hughes, anything you want to say more on this conversation before we go to Dr. Kiefner?
Just real quick, which has been kind of swirling around in my brain too, and we've kind of hinted at it, and we can talk about this at another show as well. But, you know, communication by telepathy is
yeah.
It's really hard too, because, you know, I think you've kind of commented on it earlier, you know, kind of assuming that the other person knows what we're thinking, feeling, or what we need. And the same, back and forth. And, you know, non-verbally going through life doesn't necessarily get your needs met and the job done for a healthy communication or a healthy relationship. So just the telepathy piece. Check your assumptions about what you think the other person knows about you and what you know about them. Put it into words. Test it out. You know, I think you might be surprised.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Let's go for more words of wisdom with Dr. Mark Kiefner and A Minute on the Mind. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Hughes. How are you guys?
We're good.
Hi, Mark.
We're good.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect.
Beautiful. You know, I was just listening to Hughes and the telepathy notion and the whole theme of communication in the conversation today. And I actually want to make a case for not exactly telepathy, but something called limbic resonance. And because one of the things that we mammals have, and human beings being mammals, we've got it, is the ability to kind of have a sense of what other people are feeling and experiencing without actually putting it into words.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you know that experience. It's what happens when you meet a person for the first time and you like them, or maybe you don't like them, or it's what happens when you have a glance from someone, or maybe your wife gives you a certain kind of look, and you can feel immediately what's going on in the relationship. And so in addition to the sort of more conscious kind of communication, I think it's really important to kind of be aware of the fact that there is this limbic system, unconscious or preconscious kind of communication that occurs. Am I making sense so far?
So far, so good.
Oh, good. Fabulous.
sometimes
I don't. What did you say, Hughes?
I was just going to say, you don't even need to talk, and I'll get it.
I'm sensing you right over the phone, man. There's a terrific book that your listeners might enjoy, or our listeners might enjoy, called A General Theory of Love, which is by three people, Thomas Lewis, Fari Amini, and Richard Lannan, which kind of outlines some of these ideas. It's actually quite readable. But one of the things that I often try to do in therapy is to kind of reestablish that kind of connection. And I think that one of the things that you often see when you're working with couples where there's communication trouble is that they do what we all do, which is they pull apart, they move apart. Mm-hmm. And you can reestablish some of that limbic connection by actually having them touch. And sometimes I'll even ask people to sit across from each other and put their hands over each other's hearts and just feel the beating of the heart. And one of the things that happens is that we can synchronize in that way. You can see that with babies and moms, right? Moms can soothe babies, but also we can soothe each other, and I think that we all need a little of that from time to time. So that's my minute on the mind for today, guys.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, I really like that.
Love sharing with you, beautiful men.
There you go.
See you guys later.
I love that communication. I love that kind of communication.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye, Mark.
Woo.
Yeah. Well, that's very important. I really like that part about putting your hand on your heart.
Maybe we could have a conversation some. I mean, maybe we could have another half hour of just practicing some of those nonverbal communication skill building too, honoring the limbic system and throwing some ideas out there for some of our listeners. I think that was really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, for our listeners out there. Work at this. You said this earlier, Hughes, that this sounds like work, but work at it. It's important. And this part about putting your hand on your heart reminds you that that's what it's all about. Mm. You're talking to somebody that you love. You're talking to somebody that's really important to you. And sometimes you get into, yeah, but I've been hurt, or I've been disappointed, or I've been frustrated. But if you can get back to, wow, this is the person that I love and the person that I want to love me.
Yeah. This can lend to more healing in the world, which is well needed. So
indeed. So we're coming to an end of another show and tons more to talk about, but we don't have enough time. So we'll meet.
Be back here next week. So please join us again next week.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about the power of words, and it should be a great show. So join us then, and keep talking to each other, and keep being open. All right, that's it for Darn Guys this week, and we'll have Megan Jo Wilson take us away with her song "Take Me Away," which I love. Okay.
All right, see you, Jim.
Bye, Hughes.
Together, long day.